AAA wishes to advise that the following audio contains the name of a deceased Aboriginal person.
Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations stance point. With your host, Dan Rennie.
Welcome to Let's Talk. Before I begin, I'd like to stop to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land where we broadcast from today. Also pay respects to elders past and present. It's great to have your company. Joining us today on the program is Indigenous Affairs Journalist for The Guardian, Sarah Collard. Thank you for joining us, Sarah.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
Can we start with your mob and your country, please?
So I'm a Ballardungri woman from Western Australia, from the Wheatbelt region, talking to you from Sydney, from Gadigal land here.
Your work with The Guardian, tremendous. I've been a big fan of your writing for a long time, so it's nice to connect with you and be able to have a yarn. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey in journalism and how you ended up at The Guardian?
Thanks so much, Dan. So I actually got my start at the ABC a fair few years ago now, and I worked there for about 5 years. And then I worked at NITV and SBS for 18 months, and I was the political correspondent based in Canberra out of Parliament House, so I did a lot of politics, went on the election campaign, a couple of federal budgets, and obviously the pandemic over that time. So that's kind of been my journey. And then a few months ago, I've started here at The Guardian, moved to Sydney, and kind of focusing on national Indigenous affairs issues and things affecting our mob from all over the country.
It's just about the only thing I read now. It's probably the only thing I can stomach or even, you know, rely on. Trustworthy news is something that's really hard to come by these days, but I think you mob are absolutely smashing it there at The Guardian.
Oh, thanks, mate. Appreciate that.
Now, of course, we're going to turn our attention to the horrific and senseless death of 15-year-old Noongar boy Cassius Turvey, who was murdered back on the afternoon of the 13th of October, rushed to the hospital in an ambulance, treated, and then sent home for 8 hours before he was brought back and placed in an induced coma, suffered two strokes, a brain bleed, and was in hospital for 5 days before that heartbreaking and heart-wrenching decision to turn off the life support was there. You've written a couple of articles here, and can you talk us through the circumstances of Cassius's murder?
A man is currently been charged with his alleged murder, a 21-year-old man, for this incident. It happened, as you mentioned, on October the 13th. Cassius and a few of his friends were just walking home from school in Middleview, Perth, in northeastern suburbs there, as, you know, many kids do that got in the bus or were heading home, as kids do every day. And a man and several others, basically, they're alleged to have jumped out, attacked Cassius. Most of the boys tried to run away. Unfortunately, Cassius was caught and viciously attacked, and it was just a horrendous incident. I honestly can't imagine how those young boys would have been feeling. Cassius was just 15. You know, I've been speaking with the family. The boys were terrified when this incident happened. There were allegedly racist slurs being called out, some horrendous things, really trying to intimidate these boys over what, you know, police are suspecting could have been brought about by some smashed windows of the alleged offender's car. But Cassius was just walking home. He was just heading home when this vicious attack happened. And the Noongar community, and really the whole Perth community, and I think this has really reverberated around Australia, especially with Aboriginal communities. You know, everyone is heartbroken and shattered that this has happened. We've seen vigils being set up, rallies happening this week, and I think a lot of people are just heartbroken that this is still happening and this is still going on and affecting our kids.
It seems like in this country we're a long way behind where we need to be. It feels like we sometimes take a couple of steps forward and then five steps backwards, and I don't think the comments from the police commissioner have helped the situation. As you wrote in your article there, the very brief statement that the police had taken is not sufficient enough.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who are wondering what more police could do. Obviously, the investigation is still ongoing, and they made some more charges against this man on Friday. He's been further charged with assault of another of the young boys, one of Cassius' friends. He was just 13 years old and was walking home with crutches when he was allegedly whacked in the face by this man. So you can just imagine the fear that's going on. Kids are really afraid to be walking home. Parents are really alarmed about what's happening. And then there was a lot of hurt and anger caused by the WA Commissioner's comments around Cassius being at the wrong place at the wrong time. And there's been fears that, you know, the police should have taken more efforts with those statements. Now, police have been pretty tight-lipped about what's actually happening there. The homicide squad has taken over, and there's still a long way to go for this investigation. But I think a lot of Aboriginal people and the Noongar community are feeling really hurt and angry, and they want answers and they want justice for what has happened.
There are conflicting reports about some of the incidents leading up to it and of course, the incident itself. But witnesses have said they heard racial slurs being tossed around. The police commissioners came out and said it wasn't racially motivated. Was this a racially motivated crime, a hate crime?
Well, I think we have to be pretty careful what we say, given that it is before the courts. But I think, you know, speaking with family who their kids told them that they have heard racially slurs, that even the Prime Minister has come out saying that this was a racially motivated attack, that Cassius would not have been attacked if he wasn't a young Aboriginal boy. It's hard to say. It's extraordinary to say that there wasn't some sort of racial element towards this. And I think the police are saying this isn't a motivating factor, or they're not looking at it as a primary motivating factor. Just seems extraordinary to me. I think you can't say that this wasn't in some way, race has played a role in this young boy's tragic death. And I think that has caused a huge amount of anger and distrust with the police system, that, you know, you've got the mother, you've got the kids saying that this happened, and they're kind of looking at it as a kind of separate incident.
Wrong place, wrong time. What did the police commissioner mean by that?
Well, I think what he meant was that Cassius had nothing to do with this alleged, you know, smashed windows that none of the boys did. That, you know, he was just walking home and the man saw him and allegedly attacked him. So I think that's what he meant by the wrong place and the wrong time. But, I mean, where else is a kid going to be but walking home? I just think those comments were incredibly insensitive and were in poor taste. Now, he has since not exactly apologised for those comments, but expressed his sincere condolences to Cassius' family and said his priority is getting justice for Cassius. So I do hope that he understands that those words have caused a lot of hurt and anger, not just with Cassius' family and the Noongar community, but across Aboriginal Australia, really.
What's the feeling on the ground in the community there?
Well, I'm not in Perth at the moment, but I've been speaking to a lot of people, a lot of elders and the family members of Cassius and those young children. And, you know, they're heartbroken, they're angry, they're grieving. And I think there's a lot of hope that maybe this could lead to a change, that this has really shocked Australia that this could happen. And I've been speaking with elders and community leaders in Perth, and they've been saying that, you know, they're heartbroken, that they're angry, that they want justice for Cassius, that they really want the government and police leaders to be meeting with them as the next steps forward in this, and to kind of heal the relationships with the police, which we know can already be incredibly fractured. And I think this is really causing a lot of grief and heartbreak amongst the community in Perth and Western Australia. And I think a lot of people are hoping that this can bring about some change, that that justice will come, and that people will really understand just the heartbreaking nature of this and the real anger that is stemming from Cassius's senseless and violent death, that this never should have happened and should not happen in a country like Australia. I think there's a lot of anger and disbelief that this young boy is now dead over nothing.
Blackfellas in this country, we... those are the sort of things we have to deal with on the daily here, but this is, you know, this one hits a little bit different. I just say a young boy there and just had the world at his hair. To see his mother come out and be so staunch, you know, that gives you a bit of strength as well. But how do we stop this from ever happening again?
I don't know, Dan. I think, I hope that this will cause a reckoning with Australia, with non-Indigenous Australians, that this will lead to some sort of change. I think, you know, I think that there's so much stereotyping with, you know, young Aboriginal kids being whatever in the media within the broad scheme of things, and I think that hopefully this can lead can contribute to some change in that this thinking, that this racist thinking, these stereotyping can have deadly consequences for our kids, and it just should not be happening. I hope that we can gain some reckoning with that. And I think, as you mentioned, you know, Michelle Turvey, Cassius's mother, has been so strong throughout all this process, has been speaking with such dignity and grace through her just immense trauma and heartbreak about wanting change, and has been recognising that this isn't just her loss, that it's something that is impacting, you know, Cassius's friends and community and the broader Aboriginal community as well. So I think that kind of generosity of spirit is something that is beautiful but heartbreaking to see.
Why don't you think there's been the outcry from the broader community, the mainstream community and media? I mean, we saw the ongoing interest in the William Tyrrell case, and even, you know, a young girl who's not even from this country overseas goes missing, and it's reported upon constantly, but doesn't seem like there was the same level of interest or care for Cassius Turvey in the mainstream media.
I think it took a while to get picked up by the national media. I think the local media were kind of reporting on it, but it did not have the same kind of saturation of coverage that, in a sense, young Cleo had. And I think that's something that a lot of people have caught up with me, the elders and community people, and even Cassius's family have said, you know, like, this thing happens to our kids and it doesn't seem to hit the same way, you know, why not? And I think that is something that the media needs to be looking at itself. Why are they not caring about our kids in the same way as other kids? You know, all kids need to be cared and loved for, and I think that's something that the media has to reckon with, that there should be national attention and national outrage on this, and we need to be calling that out. And I think that that's something that social media and Twitter has been very good at, and it's been continuing to do that, especially amongst Black Twitter. As you know, there's been a huge outcry about this not getting the same kind of galvanising national attention that we've seen on other cases. And I think that hopefully with this kind of sustained pressure that will lead to change, and we'll start to see that same level of care and attention and outrage not only given but maintained.
Listening to Let's Talk on Triple A Murray Country, Indigenous Affairs journalist Sarah Collard is with us today from The Guardian. Sarah, before we do wrap up, what's the next steps here for the, you know, the legal proceedings, I suppose the investigation and the alleged murderer?
Well, the alleged will be appearing in court next week on the 9th of November at Perth Magistrate Court there. And the police are continuing with their investigation. So I think hopefully we'll see just how that plays out and what happens next week. And then, of course, on Wednesday, we've got national vigils all around the country for the young Cassius and his family, and showing solidarity with them and calls for action. So there's going to be a lot more happening with this case and with this story.
Yeah, there will be vigils right across the country. Justice for Cassius Turvey in Perth, Adelaide, Albany, Alice Springs, Brisbane, Darwin, Eden, Newcastle, Sydney and Wollongong. So get out and show your support. We'll share those details on our socials as well. So make sure you get along and show your support for the Turvey family and, of course, the memory of young Cassius. Sarah, I want to thank you very much for your time. Thanks for joining us and thanks for the deadly work you do for The Guardian.
Thanks so much, Dan. I also just want to say thanks for having me and sending all my love and support for all mob listening. And it's been a tough time, so I hope everyone's taking care of themselves and can seek joy when they can.
Sarah Collard from The Guardian, the Indigenous Affairs reporter.